person here. This morning, we're going to go, and I was thinking about this this passage and all. I went to a preacher's meeting on, what day is it? It's Sunday. I'll go back a few, but it was on Thursday. So I went to a preacher's meeting on Thursday evening, and heard some good preaching and all, and got to fellowship with some men I hadn't seen in a little bit, and one of the preachers hit around this topic, and Lord just kind of laid in my heart that was what we needed as far as what some of what was presented. Something he said, he kind of touched on it, but he didn't stay there, and it really brought about a bit of conviction for me. Which is always a good thing, right? Y'all didn't know preachers got convicted, did you? But as I began to think about it more Lord laid on my heart, this is what we needed for this morning. And so if you would, take your Bibles and let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 4. Mark, chapter 4. I have a lengthy bit of reading for this morning, and we're gonna read a good number of verses in Mark 4, but we are going to focus in on just two of them as a whole, and really just really one word to a degree in each of those verses. But we got to read the whole thing to kind of get a better understanding to what's taking place in this passage. And this morning's message is not going to be extremely deep. Again, it's very, very simple. It's not hard to comprehend. Some of it might even be rather elementary for us if you've been a child of God for any length of time, but it is a reminder to us of what is important, especially after the events of yesterday and all that took place. And we were up. I just for some reason, sometimes they say storms are coming through and I go to bed. I don't worry about it. And I've been through several hurricanes, been through some pretty strong ones. I've been through several tornadoes, a couple of them going directly over our house when we were growing up. Some of it was a hurricane that brought tornadoes, and so that's fun. That's really good. Category 4 hurricane, that's bad enough. Then throw a tornado on top of it. That makes it even more interesting. So there's not a lot that really scares me when it comes to storms, but I do get a little apprehensive sometime as to whether or not I can just relax. And Friday night was one of those time frames, and so I told my wife I'm just going to stay up a little bit until the worst of it's over, and when I feel comfortable that I can just go off to bed, I will. Well, it was about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, still waiting around to see how it's going, and it was pretty much declared to be over. Don't you love it when they do that? It's over. Don't worry, it's pretty much past us. No big deal. I think most of the time they're looking in the wrong places, and little places like Hartsville don't get paid attention to a whole lot. But the big cities, the bigger needs, we're not in danger. But about that time, I had looked out the door a few times just to see. I'm getting somewhere with this, so y'all stick with me. But I looked out the door a couple of times just to watch. I like to watch. You can't see much at night, but you can watch the trees. You can see the wind, and you can tell whether or not it's just straight lines or something else is happening. And for the most part, it was just what they were saying, just straight line, heavy winds. It sounded spooky, but it's no real big deal, just like any other bad storm. So the last time I looked out, just gazing around, and it's like, okay, you know, it's raining now, so I'm getting wet while doing it. I decided to go ahead and close the door. And shut the door, locked it up, went to turn around and go back to the room. And about that time, Brandy comes around the corner. She's like, "Do you hear that?" I'm like, "Mm-hmm." And that doesn't sound like it's just a gust of wind. And so I turned back around. I opened the door. I wanted to look at the trees. And sure enough, the trees were doing a little bit of a whirly bird. Not breaking per se, but you could tell it was not direct winds. It was going in multiple directions. And about the time I saw the tree to confirm what I thought was happening, it tried to suck the door out of my hand. And I'm like, yep, close it up. And so we all got back to this over in a matter of seconds. But, in that moment, from that time forward, we went outside. We were in the rain. We were out here cutting trees with them and trying to move it off. I went down and checked on Miss Betty English because I knew it went straight through. I could definitely tell there were major trees. Every time it was lightning, I could see that there were big things down. So I went down to check on her. And one of the first things I noticed when I was looking outside the house, a lightning would strike. And I'm looking around at all of our property to see if the buildings are still there. And I'm thinking, everything looks pretty good. And all of a sudden, the lightning struck again. I'm like, hold on a second. Wait. I think I saw the bus. I shouldn't be seeing the bus. I should be seeing a building around the bus. And then lightning struck again. I'm like, there is no building around the bus. And didn't even know about the school shed over until the light hit in the morning. Then we saw that gone too. And but all that happened, we were up until about, I don't know, 2, 3, 4 o'clock. And got some sleep and then got back up when daylight hit, tried to get out here and of course, let everybody know what was going on, try to coordinate when. And again, sorry for those that might want to show up early. They were out here, had the whole thing blocked off, working on the power lines. It was actually dangerous and already crowded, so we wanted to keep that out of the way until they were done. But I appreciate everybody that came out and helped. But it's been a long day yesterday, very long day. And there are times, I mean, here's where I'm getting to with that story, all right? There are times when that kind of stuff happens. And the days are longer, or at least they feel longer. They feel a lot fuller than normal when it comes to the events of a day, and if we're not careful, we can miss out on some of the most important things that we need in a day when everything's upside down, everything's crazy. I've got lots to do, lots to think of, lots to figure out, and we start running around like a chicken with our head cut off, trying to get through the daylight that we have and get everything we need to done. And may I remind you, and it's convicting for all of us, we get in those moments and we go into a mode, don't we? We go into autopilot to a degree in our human minds of, okay, I got to take care of this, got to take care of that. Let's get this done. Let's start here. Let's do that. Let's call this person. Let's get a hold of these people. And we get into that mode and we go straight on into fix it mode, deal with it mode. And if we're not careful, we will bypass one of the most important elements of what we have at our disposal. And I'm going to read these passages of scripture and then I'll give you the title here in a moment. But let's read these passages of scripture starting in verse number 10, Mark chapter 4, verse number 10. We're going to read down to verse number 34. And the Bible says here, starting in verse number 10, it says, "And when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. And he said unto them," he'd already given a parable. They're trying to figure out what the full meaning of that parable, that story that he gave, earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so he begins in verse number 11. He says, "Unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them." Now, the Lord's not saying he's trying to keep people from seeing their need of sin and being converted. That's not what's happening here. But he's dealing with the reason why he speaks in parables, and he's trying to help those, his disciples, those who are his true followers, to see what the purpose is behind it for them. And he goes on to verse number 13, "And he said unto them, Know ye not this parable? And how then will ye know all parables?" If you can't figure this one out, if you can't see this, you know, the sower and the seed, it's pretty simple. So he explains it to them, verse number 14. "The sower soweth the word, and these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction or persecution ariseth," when life gets tough and it's not as all hunky-dory as you thought it was going to be following Christ, what do they do? When it arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. They can't handle it. They take off and say, you know what? Fooey on all this. Verse number 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lust of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. There's a key word in that particular one. I believe that this is dealing, especially dealing with a child of God, somebody who gets saved, but the cares of the world choke out the fruitfulness of that child of God. And so therefore, they actually end up being saved, but that's about all they've got. They have forgiveness of sins, but they'll have no fruit born through their life of serving the Lord. And it goes on verse number 20. It says, and these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, it is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick, for there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. That statement is used over in the book of Revelation several times, as the Lord, it gives the letters, gives the challenge to the different churches. It's always, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. It's one thing to have an ear to hear with. It's another thing to use it for the hearing. And so Jesus himself here is saying, listen up. Don't just hear what's said, but listen, hear it. Take it in. Verse number 24, and he said unto them, take heed what ye hear, with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. You want more? You want God to give more understanding, more knowledge, more wisdom? You got to heed that which you've already received. That's what he's saying. If you're not willing to take what you've already got, why would you get any more? If you hear, you gain more. If you listen and you grow, you gain more. Verse number 25, for he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he hath. And he said, so is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And he said, whereunto shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth, it is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all herbs, and shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. And with many such parables spake he the word unto them, as they were able to hear it. Verse number 34 is where we'll stop. It says, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. I want to focus in on verse number 10 and verse number 34. You might have thought I was going to go into one of these parables, right? Wrong. We're going to look at something I believe is to a degree encouraging, but even greater than just breaking down these parables, though that is very tempting for any preacher to break down the things being said here, because they contain very, very valuable information for the child of God. But verse number 10 and verse number 34 contain something that we need to consider this morning. Verse number 10, it said, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. He had already spoken a parable. Many were around. Many had heard. But it says when he was alone. Then over in verse number 34, it says, but without a parable spake he not unto them, and when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. The title this morning for a message, if you want to write down a title to keep track with your notes, would be this: how's your alone time? How is your alone time? When he taught the multitudes. everyone that was around. But in verse number 10, he begins to speak in detail to his disciples when he was alone with them. And then in verse number 34, it again says that he spoke in parables, but then when he was alone with them, when they were alone, he expounded all things to his disciples. Everyone heard the basics, but those that fellowshiped with him alone got the expounded version, the expanded version of value from what it was that God had shared with so many. This thought of how is your alone time for us is very important, because many times we don't spend this alone time with God as we have opportunity. We miss it. As I mentioned about yesterday, from early morning, a little bit of sleep, and then all day long, it's very easy in those kind of days when you're tired, you're wore out, and you're sunburned. Anybody around here got a sunburn? It's all that Libby keeps complaining about, sunburn, sunburn, sunburn. She's like, I never get sun. I got too much. Okay. But, and you have all this stuff. You're so worn out from the day and so tired that when we do have opportunity, we don't take it. When we do have a chance, we don't take it. But it's in the alone time with God that we don't have just the basics that we're given, but we get the opportunity for God to expound some things for us, to reveal some things for us, to share with us that which is not going to be open to the mass, but it's going to be in that personal, private time with God. When we set aside everything else, if just for a few minutes, and get alone with God. So how's our alone time? Like I said, this is convicting for everyone. Because it's real easy to have almost zero, at least in the mindset, almost zero alone time as a pastor and with all the different things. And you go from family life to church life to everybody else's life trying to help. And I'm not complaining at all. I'm just saying, the busier you are, the easier it is to say, I don't have any alone time. I'm going to challenge that here in just a moment for each one of us. But let's pray. And then I'm going to read several scriptures, and we're going to wrap things up. It's not very deep, not very hard, just something to challenge us in our need of alone time with the Lord this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, and I pray that you would help us as we now look at your word. Lord, you've done so much already from yesterday, and just your protection, and Lord, all that we could praise you for. And there really wouldn't be time to discuss every bit of it this morning, but what I pray as we look at this thought and we look at this important need in our lives, that you would challenge each and every one of us to examine personally that opportunity we have each day, that chance we have that we need to make sure is not skipped. I pray that you just do a work, show us from your word what we need this morning. We'll trust you for it, and we ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. We all do need that alone time, right? And now here's the thing. We don't always get as much time as we wish we had. Are y'all with me on that one? But what time we do get is important. I'm going to give you two things you find, or two issues with this that we find when it comes to our alone time. The first area is the positive side, and that's the sweet potential. The sweet potential in your alone time is not exaggerated in the scriptures. It actually shows us several ways when we get alone with God, there are several things that are possible. Three very specific areas of benefit from our alone time with God are presented through scripture. And it's three different areas of being alone with God in all three aspects of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Through feasting on God's Word and fellowshipping with Him in prayer, we experience everything that the child of God needs for this daily life that we face. The first is this. When you get alone with God, it is where your Father can challenge you. Your Heavenly Father can challenge you. I would say just write these verses down. But 1 Corinthians 8:6 says this, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him." If everything consists and everything exists and everything we need is existent in and with God the Father and through Jesus Christ, then why would we not want to spend time with the one who contains and controls it all? James 1, 17 and 18 says, "Every good gift," we know this one, "every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." In other words, God's not inconsistent. He's not flip-floppy, wishy-washy. He is probably, honestly, in our life and in this life we face, even within our own selves, God is still the most consistent thing and most consistent person we can contact and deal with without wondering, is he going to change his mind or change his stand or switch things around? We look around all the time and you find somebody you think you know, and then later on you find out, "I didn't know them like I thought I knew them," because it completely changed. You think you can, "I know exactly what that person's thinking," then you realize you don't know nothing about that person's thinking, because it can change just like that. God is consistent. And every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from him. We've talked about that before. But there's no variableness with him, neither shadow of turning. It goes on in verse 18. It says, "Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Again, that just goes back to the point that I've made many times, that I believe man is God's most prized creation. Of all the animals, of all the things that he created, of the stars and the moon and the sun, and everything he's created, man is his number one prized creation. We are a kind of first fruits of his creation, which, by the way, go back to the law of first fruits. That means it is the best of the best of the firsts. It's the top. But who does that belong to, by the way? Belongs to God. If we're kind of first fruits of his creation, what do you think he considers us? He considers us his. Now, not everybody has allowed themselves to be in his possession. Some folks have now accepted Christ as their Savior and they resist being a child of God. But we are his creation. Though we have to choose to be his child through a rebirth. Because of the blood of Christ. That's a whole other message. We'll leave it alone. I'm not going to go there this morning. But it tells us, because we are that, because God created us and we are a kind of first fruits of his creation, several more verses come to mind. 2 Corinthians 6:17 tells us, "Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." So here are some be ye's that the Bible does say. And yes, may I say, the Bible does, and God himself does give some very explicit instructions of the do's and don'ts of this life. For the child of God, be ye separate. Ephesians 4:26, be ye angry. I like that one. No, don't stop there. Be ye angry and sin not. Which means where your anger is pointed is not up to you. It's up to whether or not it's biblically accurate to be angry. I can be angry because of sin and at sin. I can be angry at our adversary. I can be angry, but again, the only way I'm going to be angry and sin not is if my anger matches the same thing that God is displeased with. But I cannot do it in the flesh. It must remain in the spirit, which is why it's so hard for man to accomplish that task. If any moment in your flesh, your anger is given through the flesh, you just lost the whole point of being angry and sin not, because you sinned as soon as the flesh got involved. You would say, "That's almost impossible." Exactly. Which is why we just ought to be able to temper ourselves a little bit and let God handle it. But be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. There's another one. Ephesians 4:32, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving. So you could just say, be ye kind, tenderhearted, and forgiving. That's a big enough request from the Lord for us. Forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. How do I forgive people the same way God forgives? Well, that's a tough one. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. James 1:22, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. James 5:8, be ye also, I don't like this one, we'll skip it. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Ephesians 5:1, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. How am I to be a follower of God? Answered in 1 Peter 1:15-16, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. God speaking. All these things we see because, and again, when you get alone with God, you get that opportunity, that sweet potential of having your Father, your Heavenly Father, challenge you as His child in these that I've mentioned and many other areas throughout the Bible. There's so many others we could have gone to as well, but there's no time for all that. You can read it for yourself. We ought to be, by the way. And we can get the be ye's, and we can get the directions, and we can get the challenges that our Heavenly Father gives to each one of His children to help us grow thereby. But not only do you have the Father, but when you get alone with the Lord, you get that alone time spent with God. You're challenged by the Father, but it's also where your Savior can encourage you. Again, many verses. I'm just going to give you this one. In John 16:33, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Christ speaking here. In me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. When I get alone with the Lord, I get the Heavenly Father that challenges me from His Word. And I get my Savior that encourages me that I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And when I get alone with God, I'm reminded, you do it on your own and it's going to feel impossible. You go out there on your own and you try to figure it out yourself and you're going to get overwhelmed and you're going to stress out. But you can do all things if you'll do it through me. I can give the strength and I can give the help, but this world is so overbearing. Yeah, but I've overcome the world. And as we fellowship with Him and we get alone with Him, in those times the Father challenges us to grow and challenges us with directions in this roadmap for life. And then the Son, our Savior, begins to encourage us that you can make it. You can keep going, not in your own strength, but in my strength. Not in your own abilities, my abilities. You may not be able to figure it out, but I already had it figured out before it happened. You may not know where to turn next, but I've already got the next three steps laid out for you. If you'll just follow me, I can help you with it. You can endure. You can complete. You can finish well if you just follow me, because in me dwelleth all that you need. Get alone with God. We have the Father challenges, and we have the Savior, our Savior, the Son, that encourages us. But then there's a third part to that Trinity. When we get alone with God, we also find a place here. It is where the Comforter can teach you. In John 14:26, Jesus Himself instructs and talks about what's coming after He leaves. And He says that He must go away and He must be gone, because if He does not go, the Comforter will not come. But then He explains who the Comforter is that is sent by the Father. And it is the third part of the Trinity, of the Godhead, that we believe firmly in because of this book. And that third part is the Holy Spirit. In verse number 26 of John 14, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He's a comforter. We like to think on that. But how does he comfort? He teaches. He goes on, and he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So the one where we get encouragement from is reminded to us and we're reminded of by the one who is brought to be the comforter as he teaches us and reminds us of all things of which Christ taught, which was given to him by the Father. And so therefore, as you fellowship with the Lord, as you spend time with God each day, you have the Father there to challenge you. You have your Savior, the Son, there to encourage you. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter of God, there to teach you every single day. You say, but I don't know that I have all that time you're talking about. We've got more time than we actually want to admit. Here's the present obstacle in the last part of our message for this morning. The present obstacle that we have. There is the sweet potential if we'll spend time with God, but what is the obstacle? Well, some might say, I don't get that much alone time, so when I do, you ready? That's my time. No, just hold on. I know it sucked the air out of the room, okay? But watch. We get that way. That's my time. Now, I'm not going to deny that. It's your time. That's not the question this morning. The question, I'm not debating on whether or not when you get time to be alone, you get time to be quiet, if you get that time. Okay? Some of us are like, okay, I don't have a single moment. I'm going to challenge that thought here in a minute. But don't worry, I say the same things, okay? So this, I'm just sharing with you what God's already flattened my feet about, all right? Stepped all over them. But here's the thing. We say, well, that's mine. Mine. Me. I'm taking it. Nobody. I'm going to do what I want to with that time. It's my time. Well, listen, every time you have is borrowed time. Just understand that. Let's just get that premise out there. Every bit of time that you have is time that God has allowed your heart to continue beating. Yours and mine. And so, yes, do we all need some quiet time? Most definitely. Do we all need some alone time? Now, some of y'all are like, I don't like being alone. I'm not like you. I don't mind being alone. Now, I don't want to be that permanently, but I don't mind being alone. Sometimes it's nice just to go off. Why do you think guys love hunting? Some guys love hunting. You go out in the deer stand, and it's you, a gun, and the future victim. And you're out there, but what is it most of the time? You're out there alone. Quiet. You know, you throw the cell phone somewhere, or if you have it with you, you mute it or turn it off or something. I know our preacher, Brother Rusty Silvertooth, most of y'all have met him now, but that was his favorite reason for going hunting. He liked hunting, but his favorite reason for going hunting is he could get away where his phone didn't ring 24/7, and he was hopscotching from place to place, bearing everybody else's burdens with him. And he'd go, he'd turn everything off, go in that deer stand, and he always took his Bible with him. And most of the time, he'd go to hunt and end up not shooting anything because it all walked by as he was just reading his Bible, spending time with God, with nothing to interrupt him. He found himself some alone time. And when he came back, he'd be like, oh, did you see that big old deer? He's like, where, what? I didn't, where? There was one? Sorry, you know, He'd come back sometimes and say, hey, what'd you get this time, preacher? I heard there's a lot of good deer moving out there today. He's like, I didn't see a thing. What? That's a good spot. He's like, well, it might have helped if I was looking up, but I wasn't. So, but here's the thing. We all need the alone time. We all need some of that quiet time. And oftentimes, though, we look at it as, well, that's mine. I'll do what I want. Nobody's going to tell me what to do with it. And I'm not trying to, but I am going to say this. The debate is not, is your time alone, what little time you can find. The debate is not, is that your time? I'll give you that. It's your time. The debate or the question this morning is, what are you doing with it? That's the question. And Ephesians 5, 15 and 16 says this, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. And I know that that pertains to a lot of other things, but it does pertain with being wise. We are stewards, even of our time. How do we use it? What little time we do find. Sadly, here's the thing, and we're almost done, but the use of such valuable alone time is often wasted in meaningless ventures. And here's where it hits home for every single one of us. We tend to take what little bit of quiet, alone time, if you got kids, that's really hard, but quiet alone time, and we take that, and what we do get in our day, and we invest it in useless time wasters. I don't have any time. And then when we have it, we play games. My phone's up there. We're actually streaming through it right now. So I can't pull it out. But anybody in here have some time waster games on your phone? No, smartphones? It might just be a little card game. It might be a word puzzle game. You know, you name it. There's tons of different, doesn't it be the whole gaming society of two fingers going on? It could just be a... I don't have any alone time. Maybe it's not games. Maybe it's social media. I really wanted to spend time with God today, but I had no time today. There's 13 posts on social media and responses and replies, and that's not even counting the amount of time that we spent minutes upon hours scrolling through and reading what everybody else said. I don't have any alone time. The question is not, do we have time? The question is, what are we doing with the time we have? I really wanted to spend more time with God this morning, but all I had was a couple of minutes. And yet if we went on, we'd find hours spent. Maybe not during your work time. Maybe just when we got home and before we went to bed, we're sitting in the, this is me, I'll do it, I'll admit it, sitting in your chair before you go off to bed, and first thing we grab is the phone. Let's scroll through here and see what I missed all day. Or, I'm not done. What about entertainment? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying you should do away with all these things. No, what I'm saying is proper management of these things still leaves us with time for the Lord. Still leaves us with time to get alone with Him. If we spend as much time with the Lord as we do with social media and the TV and the games we play on our phones and all these different things that we do, if we spend as much time alone with the Lord, we'd have fewer times of confusion of what to do and more clear direction of where we should be heading. We'd be more in touch with the Lord on a regular basis. And when I hit a crisis, instead of turning around to everybody, what am I going to do? I can say, Lord, what do I do? Because that's become a habit. We go on Facebook. And we let the whole world know. You know, the middle part of an argument that I was having. We never tell the whole story, all right? You don't know what I'm talking about? Don't ever tell the whole story. Just tell enough for people to be on my side. That's how social media works. It irritates the fire out of me. But I'm going to leave that alone. We're moving on. We're going to finish. It could be entertainment, watching movies, listening to the music, all these different things. And I'm not saying that all this is awful, horrible, bad stuff. I'm just saying we use it as time wasters. How about online window shopping? I know most of us, we know how to shop online, right? How many of y'all have gone and spent so much time, you had no intention of buying, but you just want to see what's there? Anybody got the Amazon app on your phone? Is that not a time waster? I'm looking for one thing. Next thing you know, it shows me four or five other things I might be interested in. Will they stop that? Just stop it. Because, yes, I'm interested. And you're getting me sidetracked. Next thing you know, I'm on this one and then on that one. Then I see, I wonder if there's how many other versions there are that might be cheaper. And so next thing you know, I'm searching out that. And all of a sudden, 30 minutes has passed and I never even got to what I was really looking for. But ultimately, even that was just going to be window shopping. Right? I mean, we waste so much time. And I mean we. Because I'm with you. And you could name it. Keep on going. Whatever it is. But how many times do we say, I just didn't have time today? And we should say, I just didn't take time today. Is that not true? That hurts. It does. Listen, it hurts me as much as it does anybody else. So we're fellowshipping. A whole bunch of fellows in the same ship, okay? We're there. We're all in the same boat. We're all bailing like crazy. We're trying to keep the water out. But the problem, hey, if we stop bailing so much and start plugging the holes, we could actually relax a little bit more. Can we really say, with all honesty, when we think about it in this light, can we really say each day with all honesty, I had no time to do that today? I had no time to get alone with God today. It was a busy day. It was a crazy day. We had a tornado and mess to pick up. I just didn't have time. And by the time I had time, I was tired, so I went to bed. Honestly, it's not the time we don't have, it's the time we don't take. And this morning, it's just a challenge for every single one of us to realize, okay, it is your time. Let's concede that mentality. It is your time. You've worked hard. You've dealt with a lot of things. You just got to have some peace and quiet sometimes. All right. We all need it. But what do we use it for when we got it? It might be 5 minutes. It might be 10 minutes. Well, it's my time. I don't want to deal. Here's the thing. If I say it's my time, I don't want to fellowship with God in this time, there's a much deeper problem. And that's got to be dealt with. If the child of God really does not want to spend time with God, then we've got a serious, serious personal issue in the heart. And then we wonder, when the day goes bad, why does it feel like I just don't know what in the world to do next? I feel lost and everything. Well, if I'm not spending time with Him, how am I ever supposed to get the directions from the Father, the encouragement from the Son, and the instruction and the teaching from the Holy Spirit? How am I going to get that when I don't spend time with Him? So how's your alone time? Have you taken the opportunities? It might be early morning, might be late night, might be a little bit in between. You might have a time where you're having to just stop. Maybe it's a lunch break. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's what you thought you were going to do is put on hold for about 20 minutes and you have to wait around. You know, anybody here hate having to wait on someone or wait on something? Maybe at that 20-minute time where you're having to wait before you can go to the next thing, maybe it's that time where you have nothing else to do and all you're going to do is sit there and scroll your phone. You say, you know what, I'm going to use this alone time for a much more useful thing in my life. And I'm going to spend some time with my Father. I'm going to spend some time letting my Savior encourage me. I'm going to spend some time letting the Holy Spirit teach me something, because I'm bound to need it here pretty soon as this day goes along. How's our alone time? Is it what it ought to be? When Jesus got alone with His disciples, He expounded things. If I want more for God to teach me, and I want to sift more, and I want to gain more, and I want to grow more, and I want to be closer to God, I can't do it by missing and skipping that alone time where He can expound things that I need to know and be settled in my heart. Let's not skip our alone time with Him. Not with the TV, not with the phone, not with social media, with Him. Heavenly Father, again, we thank You this morning for the truth of Your Word.